This question is one of definition. That's what this question is about. It's about definition. I think all of us in this room, anyway, are convinced that the Holy Spirit is God. And so what I'd like us to do is to think about how we could define God and then use that to help us understand how this question should be answered. We would probably begin, of course, by making some sort of statement explaining the fact that we cannot understand God comprehensively, but that's hardly sufficient because we do have to explain what we do understand, right? I mean, we can't just put an answer, we don't understand God comprehensively, period. So, as we thought about the definition of God a couple sessions ago, we need to present what the Bible would say about a couple elements. One is the Trinity. Two is the attributes. Three is God's acts in history. And the sum of those things would provide a fairly good definition of God. And so let's kind of work from that and use that in order to explain the answer to this question. First of all, we need to recognize that question two, which is what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, relates to the acts of God. So that's the one we want to put off. This is the most common mistake made on the exam. Too much time is spent talking about the acts of the Holy Spirit or what the Holy Spirit does, and not enough time on who or what He is. Does that make sense? So what ends up happening is you write down everything you know on question one, and then question two comes up and you say, okay, I'll just put what I put on question one in different words, which is the way it normally works. I'll just put down whatever I put down before in different words and hope that's good enough. We want to make the division. The division is, in question two, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, what He does. In the first question, we want to talk about who or what He is. Now, we've already learned that the Trinity is God in one being in three co-equal, co-eternal persons. I just said one word that helps us with this question. Person. Person. You know, I kind of enjoy the Star Wars series. Any other Star Wars junkies in here? A few of us. You know, I actually went to the theaters to see the originals. You know, I remember those, you know, back in 77 and 1980 and 1983. And, you know, quite frankly, are you making fun of my age? Oh, that I knew the years. You know, see, I helped to make George Lucas rich by wasting all my money on that collection junk. You know, but as much as I enjoy the value of the series for entertainment, its theological message stinks, right? It's good versus evil, with the all-powerful force that can be used for either purpose. That is what this question is going against. The Holy Spirit is not a what. It is not a force of nature. It is not a force that can be used for good purposes or evil purposes. The Holy Spirit is a who. And so the question demands that we begin by explaining that we believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, how do we do that? There are several evidences for the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit exhibits emotion, will, and intelligence. That is the threefold classic theological definition for a person, that he has intelligence, a will, and emotion. And here are three passages, each of which highlight one aspect of his personhood. Intelligence, the Holy Spirit exhibits through some form of language communication. I personally believe that there is a reason why dogs, chimps, rats, and other rodents and animals of various kinds do not have language. Namely, it's part of the image of God in man. Intelligence. John 14:26 says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, speaking to his disciples, and remind you, speaking of his disciples, of everything that I said to you, speaking of Jesus. One of the passages that gives us confidence that the Bible is accurate. Exhibits will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And of course, what's that passage about? Spiritual gifts. Emotion. Scripture is clear that the Holy Spirit can exhibit emotion. He can be grieved, for example, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. A second evidence for the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit does certain activities that suggest personhood. In other words, some activities are personal in the sense that they are also moral. We talk about the morality of humans and their actions. I was home for the holidays. My parents live in Columbus, Ohio, and I saw a part of the newspaper. And during the holidays, an inmate on death row was arguing that it was immoral for a person to be executed through lethal injection. And that was his defense. In other words, he was arguing a moral issue, saying that it is immoral for the state to put him to death through lethal injection, because lethal injection is an immoral act. But you know, not very many people call a young lion eating a wildebeest alive immoral. Cruel, dumb lion, why didn't you just kill it? You know, why'd you eat it alive? Rookie. A lot of names for the lion. But immoral is not one of the ones that comes to the list. Because the lion doesn't perform a moral act. Moral actions are performed by persons. Here are a few of them. Regeneration. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The act of making someone alive is a deed performed by a personal being. Sanctification, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Intercession, again, an act that is performed by a moral being. In the same way, the Spirit, Romans 8:26 says, also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And performing miracles, such as in Acts 8:39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went away rejoicing. Man, wouldn't that have been cool? Comes up out of the water and poof, he's gone. That would have been a cool sight to see. I bet he went home and told people about that one. Evidence number three. The Holy Spirit can be treated as a person. In other words, there's some things that can be done to impersonal beings, and some things that can be done to personal beings. For example, the wind can be resisted. Assuming it's not too strong and blows you away, it has to go around you. It doesn't go through you. It goes around you. You can resist the impersonal wind. You can force it. However, there are some things that you cannot do, such as sin against it, lie to it, or quench it. Those are things that must be done by a personal or to a personal being. In Acts 5, which we've looked at already, in relationship to the deity of the Holy Spirit, the simple act is he was lied to. In 1 Thessalonians